Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who always fits just right. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I've mentioned this before, but I'm always a little curious where the intro is going to go, and today is no exception.
Well, you'll see. You'll see. Before we get to that, did you ever get to the bottom of which tiger player that cows prefer?
Somebody broke it down, I think the most smart. In the regular season, they prefer Meadows, but in the off season, they prefer Barnes.
That's actually very well done. Yeah.
Everybody.
I have no follow-up questions. That's
everybody
correct.
was pissing and moaning about the game. Everybody's ornery. There was weeping and or gnashing of the teeth. And so I needed something. I felt there should be something a little silly. And I think Barnes versus Meadows is a fair question for a cow.
100%. Definitely. There has been a lot of weeping and or gnashing of teeth over this last week.
There has been some things to lament. There's no question. The most direct, and I'm derailing your intro, but the most painful is like the game that shall not be spoken of, that final play. Ugh. Maybe we'll get to it, but.
I mean, I feel like we have to at least allude to it, but I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time there. I mean, we've moved past it.
So much pain.
All right. So you are on record having said that you're not super keen on the turkeys that you share your property with.
Oh my goodness. The stupid turkeys. Yeah. Our neighborhood's littered with turkeys and they have two purposes, to continue their existence and to piss me off. Those are the two things the turkeys want to do in their life.
Have they come back this spring?
No, they never leave. Can't get rid of them. They're a plague.
They don't go south for the winter?
I don't know. They're always turkeys. Stupid turkeys.
So what if the turkeys happened to be more fuzzy and had adorable snouts? That's the question. This comes from the Huffington Post. The South Lake Tahoe residents had been hearing, and I quote, some odd rumbling, snoring-like noises throughout the winter, and had been ignoring the mysterious sounds because it just didn't make any sense. The neighbors even suggested they might be imagining things, but the sounds were very real, and there was a logical explanation: bears hibernating in the crawl space underneath the house.
Bears need a place to be. The crawl space really is the modern cave, wouldn't you say? They've stepped their game up a little.
Definitely. So apparently between 100 and 150 bears each year attempt to hibernate under houses near Lake Tahoe, which that seems like a staggering number of
bears. Why? Because they like vacation properties? You don't seem the bears shouldn't be wintering in Lake Tahoe. You know.
It has nothing to do with the where. It has everything to do with how, I mean, how are you allowing bears into your crawl space? It seems like a very, very tight thing to let somebody into.
They wiggle their way into to caves, I suppose. Bears are crafty and persistent.
Bears are crafty. So what would you prefer, a bear in your crawl space or turkeys in your front yard? I think that's the question everybody wants answered.
Well, the bears would probably leave my freaking wood chips alone, so I don't got to mow them all the time or rake them back in. I just, the bear's not doing any damage. Let the bear be in my crawl space. I bring him a blanket. Just leave my wood chips alone.
So do you get the tie-in from the intro?
I do. I could fit into.
That's good.
I'll say confined spaces. Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome. If you want to get more from the two of us, which, why would you not? You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So, Eric, there is plenty of bad when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, of which this show is dedicated to. Let's start with the good. Miggy, gone and done
he
it.
He did it.
Finally got to 3,000.
Have we not spoken since he got it? I suppose we haven't.
I think our last show was like right before he
Yes. It was a moment of glory. He got a step and a half out of the batter's box and had his hand in the air because he knew it was through. And what a fun moment. I thought their celebration was authentic, intimate. The first guy comes over, of course, is Jose Iglesias, which is funny. Like, none of his teammates were the first to hug him. Here's Iggy out there. And that was a...
Well, to be fair, Iggy was already on the field. Right. I mean, he
I'm
was
not disparaging
geographically him. Much closer.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of...
But
there was some romance to baseball there, right? I mean, everybody cheering him on. His family was it was a tender moment. I'm actually surprised they didn't do more pomp and circumstance video present, you know, any of that kind of stuff. It was just kind of a moment to pause and celebrate more than a ceremony.
I think that's fine.
No, I thought it was right.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think about Dan's call? Obviously, I couldn't care less about the call on the TV. But did you go back and listen to it
I
on
did.
The radio?
I listened to it a couple times. I don't remember it being particularly outlandish or remarkable, but I think that was good. You know, he had that obviously that charge of excitement, 3,000, and then he just he did what good radio people do. He watched and savored the moment and described what was happening, which is seems a silly thing to comment on, but you know, just explaining to people what was happening on the field, and that becomes an essential part of the moment, and that's what I always appreciate about Dan.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard to beat Dan. It seemed like a lot of the other players, both within the Tigers and throughout Major League Baseball, were making a big deal of it. Surely that has to be super satisfying for him. Like, you can get all the accolades from the writers and the fans all you want, but the other guys who know what it takes to do things like get hits in the major leagues, they're the ones that are coming out and say, "Holy cow, this is unbelievable." Yeah. It's a big deal.
Justin Verlander sent him a video, and the most incredibly, he didn't make it about himself, which was stunning. Anytime you can get Justin Verlander talking and it's not about him, wow, that's really good.
Speaking of Verlander, saw him, Kate, and Child had like behind the scenes access to the Houston Zoo. So apparently all you have to do is win an MVP, marry a supermodel, and they just let you do whatever you want at the zoo.
I like how for you, Jordan, like that's the end game. How do I get it to be a zoo VIP? That's
I've got a little bit of that here in South
are
Bend.
You're a zoo VIP. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, so I kind of know the manager, director of the zoo. So earlier this spring, we kind of went behind the scenes. I got to pet the okapi and the rhino, which for me that's a big deal, but for Verlander that's obviously just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you didn't even have to win a Cy Young to get there. Good job. I mean, you could have, but you didn't have.
I mean,
to.
Yeah, I would have. Sure. Yeah, just you know, life takes you in different directions. Called Justin to an MVP. It called me to a podcasting and winning multiple podcasting awards. you know, different awards for different things. So you're obviously much older. You're much closer to great grandkids than I am. Do you suspect that you'll tell your great grandkids about Miggy like ours told us about K-Line?
Yeah, I mean, he, in looking at the active players who have accumulated a number of hits, there's not a lot in the pipeline who are going to hit 3,000 anytime soon. There's going to be a drought here of 3,000 hit achievers. And to say, yes, we watched the entirety of Miguel Cabrera's career. He achieved that. Will be as annoying as people who talk about Pete Rose, I'm sure. Yeah. And someday I'll be able to tell my kids that I witnessed Miguel Cabrera's 3,000 hit NFT offer on Twitter. And that will...
That's actually a long and serious answer to a question that I primarily posed because I wanted to make fun of how much older you are than me. But, you know, there ended up being a point in there as
well. You know, I don't have the readers yet, but I've used my flashlight at a restaurant, so we're getting there.
That certainly qualifies. So which were you more apt to purchase, that NFT or some of Akil Badu's from the, what, first week of the season last year?
I'm on a strict NFT diet right now. Ugh, gotta watch my NFT waistline.
Speaking of, when we were down in North Carolina with Witt's parents, there was a, you know, the morning like fluff talk shows that come on like NBC, ABC, whatever. There was a segment about NFTs. And afterwards, her dad was like, what is this? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It will just piss you off. There, nothing good is going to come from me explaining to you what this is. All right. So other than that, things could be going better. If you've been watching, you may have noticed that we're not particularly good in any tangible way right now, other than pitching's been
okay. That's not true. Our bullpen, we have the best bullpen in the American League.
Yeah. Exaggerated for effect. Yes, Scooble is
the numbers show we have the best bullpen in the American League. We're the anti Dave Dombrowski Tigers. He's been gone so long. We have a good bullpen. It's incredible.
Yeah. So real talk. This is kind of what I wanted to frame basically all of our discussion today. Are we actually underperforming right now, or were the expectations wrong from the start? Because I think we all thought that, like, you know what, this could be a pretty fun year. And not saying that it couldn't be, obviously. We're, what, 10% into the season, maybe? I don't have the... I'm not a mathematician. I don't have those analytics.
I don't count things. But,
no, absolutely not. But, you know, we were expecting, yep, I think I threw a fiver on Tigers to make the playoffs, which obviously was a dumb move. But I don't know. We had that expectation coming into the year. At least I did. We are a little bit off of playoff pace right now, as you may notice. Underperforming or wrong expectations?
Underperforming and injuries. Casey Mize and Manning are... That's a big blow. And trying to plug those holes. Also, Eduardo Rodriguez has been underperforming. I think that's a big blow. And Scope and Candelario are underperforming, as well as Badu and Haas. These are people that have every capacity to be better and just aren't. So our, you know, Pythagorean is 7-11. So, you know, you essentially pick up a game there. We got a little bit of, we could have picked up a game easy. We got a little bit of bad luck.
I mean, if Robbie catches the ball, I mean, there's just one win.
Right.
I demonstrated for those who can't see this, catching a fly
so
ball.
So underperforming, unlucky, injuries. And I don't know how to explain this, but we've just been poor in the details. It's like watching sometimes a low-level college team or a high school team where there's little mistakes being made that you wouldn't expect. They just don't have the polish. Like, we played the Twins, and the Twins were just polished defensively. The little things got done. And that's what's frustrating. I think we have a high ceiling, but our floor is also kind of low. Like, we need to raise the floor and let a bear in.
Excellent callback. So what do you attribute that to? I mean, you can't, I refuse to put that on AJ. He's not the one out there thinking things through for these guys. I believe that he has put them in every position to succeed. Is this just part of the journey?
Well, the defensive woes. I mean, if you just go around the infield, Torkelson's new. He's brand new. He's never been an elite defender. We think he's going to be very confident, but he's brand new. He's getting his feet. Scope knows what he's doing at second, but he's not an elite defender now. He doesn't have the range.
I don't know that he ever truly was.
Baez can do anything that you'd want him to do, but he can be, how shall I say, tempestuous sometimes.
And also he's missed.
And he's been gone. So, and then you have, you know, Harold Castro playing all over, but he's hitting Harold, not fielding Harold, not throwing Harold, hitting Harold. You got Willie Castro out in the field. So it feels like we're playing with our game pieces in all scattered kind of spots a little bit. And in the lineup too, when you have guys who are just not hitting in the way they're supposed to, we got to mix that up and it just becomes a disjointed mess. And that's how the play has felt for me. It's felt disjointed and unpolished.
Yeah. You know, the nice thing about that though, is you can rejig things and polish things and they get better.
Right.
It's not a fundamental issue. There are things that can, and I'm almost positive will improve. Right. They just are going to require some kinks working.
The ceiling is plenty high. I'm going to pick on a guy like Danny Wirth, but if you have nine Danny Wirths, they're not going to get like exceedingly better, right? We have guys who can be better, and guys like Candelario and Scope will be better. They just will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scope is a proven track record as a big league producer. Candelario essentially does too, although he's prone to some bipolarity, some slumps. And
yes, I've got some stats for actually all of Candy, Scope, Haas, and your boy Akil Baddoo. That might turn. Okay, let's jump right to that. All right, so obviously we all know batting average on balls in play is not the end-all be-all that comes to luck. Things go into that as far as how hard you're hitting the ball, other things like that. Jamer, 196 batting average on balls in play. Scope, 179. Akil, 125. And Eric Haas, 133.
Some of that's just bad luck.
There is a lot of good luck that, positive regression that is due to those three. Obviously, none of them are flawless players. But Akil is striking out only slightly more than last year. It was a high strikeout rate to begin with last year, but it's not like he's expanding the strike zone a super ton more than he did last year. Haas is actually striking out less. These are three key cogs in the lineup four key cogs in the lineup that have experienced significant bad luck. If those numbers push up towards like 250, we're looking a lot better from all four of these.
I got to tell you, I'm not worried about the lineup. I'm not worried about hitting. I'm worried a little bit about defense, and I'm worried a lot more about starting pitching.
Yeah. Fifth worst defensive WAR in baseball. And honestly, that kind of surprised me that we weren't lower than that. And the base running. So Fangraph has a tool for measuring base running, BSR, and we are by a long shot the worst team in baseball. There's been some real bonehead base running. What do you attribute that to?
Now, that maybe AJ Hinch should own a little bit. That's something a manager can control. Running when you're not supposed to and that kind of thing. I mean, to some extent. But what is with the Detroit Tigers and always having poor base running? Now, I know we have some sloths, but it's bad.
Yeah, but you don't have to be fast to be proper good base runners. Like, I wouldn't say that Robbie Grossman is fast, and he's at least an average. Like, and that's maybe a poor example because he's definitely not plus in that category. But, like, going back to Larry Walker, homeboy was real slow, and he was lauded as one of the great base runners. I think that's largely why he got into the Hall of Fame. Like, you don't have to be fast.
No, I think we have a lot of ceiling. There's a lot of upside. But we need to get better soon. I mean, we dragged the anchor that was our start last year, and we excelled in the second half, but we were not able to overcome that start. At some point, your start starts becoming your season.
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, it's still early. There is still lots of time to overcome it. Let's go back to Jamer. Jamer's the one that I want to focus in on. Hard contact percent down 5%. I feel like we talked about this last week, how he maybe seems like the type that can go into a bit of a mental. Maybe I just did. Maybe that was pure speculation on my part. All of the things that maybe I was hoping to see over the last week, still nothing of note. I mean, slugging is still, I don't have that in front of me, but trying to go from his OPS is looks like under two.
You know what we should do? Not ideal. Right now, you know what we should do? We should extend him. We should extend right now Jamer Candelario. You don't talk about buying a stock low.
He is better than this. Yeah.
He plays you a serviceable third base. He hits for some power over the aggregate. Not a lot of home runs, but extra base power, hits for average. If you ever wanted to buy low, I would buy Candelario now.
Very low, very low. All right, that's all I had to plan to talk about for the Tigers. Do you have any topics that you'd like to run out there?
I just have to. We should talk about the pain that was.
Oh yeah,
the play.
Yeah.
What a roller coaster! I got done watching that, and it was almost like I wanted to bleach my brain because it was so harsh. You went from, oh no, to, oh yes, he's going to catch it, to, oh no, he's rounding the bases, to, oh yes, he's stopping. And then, oh yes, we're going to get him picked off. He's rounding the bases, to, oh no, it went over his head, to, oh no, he scored two. The game is over.
It's over.
What a mess. But it's been that kind of thing. You know, remember that first inning pop-up that wasn't caught? Just all this little stuff that's been a mess.
This is 2 weeks in a row that there's a very specific blunder. Memory of just a brutal play in the field.
Just buffoonery, blundering. Like, if a guy is hustling and it, you know, hits off his glove or something like that, full effort, nobody's going to blame you. But some of this stuff is just plays that could be made. They're professional baseball players. You hope they get made. Now, nobody's flawless, but it seems that we're a little bewitched. And the freaking Twins, they just piss you off. And then the fact that they're good is especially frustrating. You get swept by the freaking Twins.
And also that until very late in the series, Correa was doing nothing, and then he went ahead and jumped into being in the middle of the frame and beating us was a special kind of sad.
And then when the play happened live, I thought, oh crap, it's just but I look back at it and like that play almost could have been made because that was Willie out there in the left, right?
Ugh. I think so.
So anyway, not frustrating defense. There's something outsized about defensive blunders that's different than, you know, striking out the side for your hitters. You know, three of your guys strike out. That's not normal or that's not unusual. But buffoonery in the field is so tangible and visual, like it drives you nuts.
Yeah, you're kind of alone on an island when you let it go through your glove or, say, throw it into left.
I do follow, I think I follow or at least see, there's a Twitter account, MLB Errors. I do love to watch those. It's the same like when you watch a gymnast fall off the balance beam or you watch a golfer hit it into the pond. Like these are the people at the top of their game and they screw it up. And I savor that. I find good joy in that because I'm a horrible person.
A little shot in front of you.
For sure.
Yeah. Never hurt anybody.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right.
Power rankings?
Let's do it. I'm not going to get into any details, but in my inner circle of life, we've been pursuing some health interventions lately. So we've spent some time with doctors and all that kind of stuff. And what's fascinating about the American healthcare system and maybe all healthcare systems is the redundancy and the amount of times you need to fill out forms, say stuff, and do stuff. Doing this all the time. Okay. And okay, fill out this form, tell us your name and date of birth, you know, all this stuff over and over. And okay, every place you go, gotta fill out the form. So I finally took a look at one of these, you know, health forms, the survey, and they ask you for the symptoms. Inevitably, there's like this list of maladies that they ask you about, right? So I have for you the top seven and bottom three funniest symptoms on the stupid health form you have to fill out at the top.
So not best or worst.
These are the funniest. These are the funniest. So let me preface this by saying no health symptom is funny. But maybe a little, kind of, if you have the right attitude. So, all right. I feel like I have permission because we've done this a lot. So here we go. Starting at number seventh from the funniest health malady, I have canker sores. It asks you, in the last 24 hours, have you had any canker sores? Now, they're painful. I wouldn't want canker sores, but it seems like they're kind of funny.
Yes. And also, I struggle to think of any other condition in the world that varies on, or that, you know, having a canker sore would be relevant to.
They must be a symptom of, like, I don't know, mouth issues or something. I have no idea. I just thought you got them from drinking too much acid or something, but maybe I'm not a doctor.
I was assuming they were from too much sugar.
Do not rely on the podcast Yanos for medical advice, please.
And honestly, if you think that you should do that, I think you have much, much bigger issues.
For sure. So that's number seven. Number six, I have difficulty in making decisions. Like, aren't decisions hard to make sometimes? I don't know how this is a health crisis. Now, if you have trouble deciding what to wear in the morning, okay. You know, maybe you should just make a decision on that. But sometimes decisions are difficult to make. I don't know. It's kind of funny. It's number six.
Maybe you've been deciding between a bunch of cryptocurrencies lately. Sometimes that can be just hard to make a decision.
I'm sure you're struggling with where to go with all your cash these days, Jordan. I think it's hard to know.
Definitely.
Sure. Number five, I have belching, comma, passing gas. They ask in the last 24 hours, have you experienced belching, passing gas? Kind of funny.
If you haven't done one of those two things in the last 24 hours, surely there's a problem.
So do you put that check mark? Yes. Yes, I've been belching and passing gas.
I think so.
You want to talk?
Right?
I'm guessing, you're going to have to talk with a doctor about it. You put the check mark. Tell me about your flatulence.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It happens. Just a natural amount. Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting
maybe
one.
They question you about the frequency. I don't know.
And then you have to start getting into like timing, how long between. That becomes a lot of work.
Volume, both in quantity and audible noise. I'm sure they measure these things. They're metrics.
The impact, yeah.
Explosive nature. Okay. You can see why this is number five funny. Okay. Number four, I have craving certain foods is number four on the health survey. Like, wouldn't you occasionally crave food? You need food to live.
I can't say I've ever. So I mean, obviously, if you're hungry, that's a certain kind right. of craving. Like, you're just needing the nutrients. But I don't really ever, like, think, oh, you know what would be super good is this. I feel like my food desires tend to be very, like, neutral.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. How about you?
You know, occasionally I'll be like, oh, I want something sweet, or I want something kind of savory. But typically not like, oh, I need to have a dill pickle, otherwise I'm going to hurt someone. Not like that. But I guess yes. They ask this because maybe you're having some kind of nutrient deficiency. Like, oh, you need...
That makes sense. Like salt or something.
You know, your body's needing, calling out for iodine or whatever it needs. I don't know. I guess this one I see why it's on the form. Okay.
That kind of sounds like voodoo, though, if we're being completely honest.
Could be. Yeah.
I'm not sure that my body is aware of what iodine is in. My body's not that intelligent, I wouldn't say. My brain doesn't actually really know what iodine's in there either. So,
number three, I have this is on the health form: apathy, comma, lethargy. Yeah, maybe I should put a check mark there because I do not care, and I'm slow about it.
Form that is just daily.
Who among us cannot occasionally put a check mark by apathy, comma, lethargy? They should give us some kind of stale.
I feel like those are two different things. Like, you can be lethargic and not be apathetic, like, and vice versa.
I don't care, but I'm really motivated about my apathy.
Right. About, yeah.
Yeah, they shouldn't put those on one line. Anyways. And also give us a scale. Like, how much lethargy am I allowed before it's unhealthy?
How does one measure that? Yeah. Like, terabytes?
Of terabytes of lethargy? It's a good band name. Okay, number two. Now, this probably isn't funny, but it seems a little funny, and that is excessive mucus formation. Like, you're just forming all this mucus, and it's just kind of coming out. Excessive mucus formation is number two. Number one, you have a guess?
My guess is always diarrhea.
Number one is genital itch or discharge. you laughed because yeah, now
because I was not expecting to hear the word genital come out of your mouth.
They gotta ask you questions about your genitals at the doctor. They're taking care of your whole body. Genitals are part of your body, and they want to know about the itch or discharge. Now, aren't genitals supposed to discharge occasionally?
Discharge?
Is urine a genital discharge? I'm asking. This is a serious question.
I mean, I would certainly think it qualifies, though I have not been to
medical
school.
So should I put a check mark by genital itch or discharge?
I definitely think you should. Yes.
I think that's
a conversation that I think you want to have.
I think that's inviting a lot of questions for follow-up questions I don't need. I'm just trying to be faithful to the form.
So other than a doctor, who else would you want to have? Like, who else would you be okay asking about your genitals?
I mean, just people on the street. I mean.
Do you get that frequently?
Accountants, you know, the lady at Starbucks, they're asking, hey, what can I get for you? Do you have any genital itch or discharge? Like, and they put it on the receipt. That's great.
Fair enough.
So there you go. That's top seven. Now we have the bottom three. These are the least funny. These are not funny symptoms. Number three for the least funny is chest pain. You know, that's not funny.
That's a serious one.
You do not want chest pain. Number two, difficulty breathing.
I feel like that's in breathing the same
vein. Breathing is very important. And if you're having difficulty with that, that is not funny.
Sometimes people forget how important breathing is.
almost like it's essential. The number one least funny is what?
I'm gonna guess diarrhea again.
Diarrhea can be a little funny. I have for number one.
You know how many presidents have been killed by diarrhea?
No, how many?
Like 12.
Wow. That's incredible that you knew.
Not in office, just you know, when they eventually succumb, it's to diarrhea. True story, look it up.
I believe you. I believe there's a book deal waiting.
I'm not sure you should.
There's a book deal waiting there for you, Hall.
Presidential diarrhea.
Pooped out. Story of deaths of ex-presidents by Jordan Hall.
Pre-order now.
Mm. Wow.
Anyway.
Hootis with the POTUS. I'll help you come up with a title. I have the least funny is nausea and comma vomiting. Vomiting is a miserable experience. That's not funny. You don't want to vomit, especially that feeling. It's a bad deal. Not funny. Now there were a lot of honorable mentions here, but we're not going to get into all the symptoms. But there you have it. The funniest medical maladies. That is Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
That was a good one. That was A+. The only thing I saw on the side of the road this week was sticking with our animal theme. I saw a woodchuck, kind of honestly just like a fat looking like cat type deal.
You're a woodchuck guy, right? You're not a groundhog guy.
Huh? Are those the same thing?
I think so. Yes.
Oh. Then yes, I am a woodchuck. I have to be honest. I thought those were two different creatures.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but woodchuck and groundhog are the same species of
That could very well be. People tend to not be real keen on woodchuck/groundhogs. I feel like I've heard many stories of like you actually don't want to see those.
They tend to burrow and just kind of be a nuisance, especially around ponds and waterways and stuff like that.
To be fair, I didn't see it near my house, so I'm kind of Gucci at this point.
Well, good. Yeah. Encourage him. Throw him a little food. Help him out. He's not by your house.
Did I tell you we saw a skunk at the office?
Really?
So I have an office downtown South Bend. We're taking stuff out to my boss's car. He goes around the corner, and he like jumps back really fast. And he's like, there's a skunk around the corner. I'm like, no, there's not. We're in downtown South Bend. There's for sure not which admittedly is not like Manhattan, but you know, there's people around.
Let me write that down.
Sure enough,
South Bend. There was a skunk. Not like Manhattan.
More pizza places. No.
I feel like skunks are a fairly urban creature.
Are they?
They're almost like raccoons. Like they can shuffle around and be in people space.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that definitely turns out to be true because he very much was in people's space.
Yeah, for sure.
We saw him go across the street and there's like a community garden across the street. And I think that's where he was at least choosing to hang out, if not live. So.
Skunking it up.
Yep.
Trying to get the female cats in a French accent, you know?
We named him Rick. Felt like that was appropriate.
Nice.
Anyway, that's all I've seen on the side of the road while running/... going out to my car.
That's great. Should we do Twitter questions?
Sure.
Okay. Twitter questions.
A lot of questions.
My responsibility.
Most of them sad. Yeah.
I can't believe.
Yeah, that was some of the best delegation I've ever done.
This is terrible. I can barely read. Who trying to ball asks, go Tigers. Not really a question, Mr. Trying to ball.
Nope.
But thank you for participating. You got your name read. Good job.
Mr. Trying to ball. So in this scenario, who is his first name?
Who?
Short first name, very long last name.
Who? Trying to ball. And maybe it's the Asian naming convention where who is the family name?
That could be.
Who? Trying to ball. I don't know.
I was actually just going to ask you what ethnicity is this last name, but now we know.
Trying to ball.
Good to know.
It's probably Irish. Jeremy Troy asks, have we tried turning the team off and then back on again? I feel like that might help us with the defensive lapses of late. We spent some time talking about this. It feels bad, man.
Certainly couldn't hurt.
Yeah. Scott Holcomb at Scott J. Holcomb asks, should I be mad when we lose like we did to the Twins the other night? Or should I embrace that we're going to be bad, but fun during these growing pains? I could barely read that. Or should I embrace fun during these growing pains? Okay. Baseball is supposed to be fun, right? So you have to embrace the pain occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the type of fan that enjoys being angry, I don't understand you, but go nuts. Do whatever, yep, whatever you think.
Yep.
But yeah, there is every chance that this year, and let's be honest, maybe even next year, are rough in patches.
Very well. Yeah. I mean, but then take the Javier Baez experience. The dude does not get cheated. He swings hard. And sometimes that ball is 8 inches off the plate and he takes a mighty hack. And sometimes he hits you a bomb and it feels good. You know, you got to embrace both. Embrace the botched catch and embrace the 3 Torkelson home runs.
Let's be honest. We had something to talk about because of that weird, bizarre play. We'll always have that memory, fortunately or unfortunately. It just kind of adds to the fan experience.
Yep. Peter 3 at Peter _ 3 in Roman numerals somehow asks, also, what is the best way for MLB to fix the horrific umpiring this year? Now, the premise of this question is that the umpiring is horrific, but to me, it's just Angel Hernandez is largely horrific. And he's an umpire, so that's a fair critique. But how do you fix the umpiring, Jordan?
I mean, obviously Angel Hernandez is far and above, and the Schwarber ejection was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't want to fix umpiring. Baseball is an inherently kitschy game. There's a bunch of weird stuff. There used to be a hill in the center field in the middle of the playing surface for reasons in Houston. Like, there are weird things about baseball, like having umpires, you know, subjectively call balls and strikes. I don't care. I think that is part of the charm. And I don't know, when stuff gets too scientific, it starts to lose me. I like a little bit of human play in things. But I know that is my personal preference, and that is not, you know, not representative of management.
Well, I could possibly get in line with the robo-umps, but it's not a panacea. In the minor leagues and where they've tried it, sometimes the robo-ump has called a strike, and all 3 parties or at the plate are kind of like, really? Oh, well, okay. You know, and it was almost diminishing that the robo ump called it a strike when it didn't feel like to anybody, any of the 4 stakeholders in that transaction, like it was a strike. So that would clean up the balls and strikes, but I feel like balls and strikes are largely pretty well called.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely. And I like, I mean, granted, my history is as a pitcher, but I like that when a pitcher is rolling, how sometimes the outside corner just gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little, like, that is part, like, you have earned that over the course of continually hitting the outside corner. Like, that is, it's an added benefit of being a painter. I don't know. I like it.
I'm fascinated by
the I never dealt with that, but people liked that as pitchers.
I'm fascinated by the robo umps. Like I said, I'm still an agnostic at this point, but you're kind of convincing me talking.
I mean, they're coming, right? I guess I should probably just get used to it. I think they will eventually be the law of the land, but
probably
not ideal.
Your boy, Alex Urban at A Urban 91 asks, who would you rather see up right now? Kreidler for Candelario or Clemens for Scope? The answer, while you think about it, is, of course, neither. Neither.
I mean, yes, I don't particularly want to get rid of either of them.
I think this is like a forced choice thing.
I don't think he's any good, but Cody Clemens has done enough to deserve his chance to prove that. at the big league level. Like, he has been a good enough AAA player that he should get 50 at-bats to prove to us that he's not actually good so that we can move on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The whole Jacob Robson thing.
Cody Clemens has been good, and which is annoying to me because
he's not.
Because Lynn Henning just loves him, and that annoys me. So, of course, I react against that.
I feel like I've sent you a couple different tweets recently. Lynn has been a dick on the internet. I mean, he always has been, but, like, specifically in his old age, he's getting real bitter.
I feel like as he gets further away from the team, like, his thoughts and takes get worse. Poor Lynn. I like that he's a stirrer, a pot stirrer, you know, and just
that he definitely is.
He doesn't do it on purpose. He's just kind of who he is. But no, I
he
find
just
that
kind of adds to that fan culture that or the fan experience we were just talking about. Yeah. That he
now,
does.
Cody Clemens would probably be fine, but he doesn't have a real high ceiling, and he's like 27 now, 26, 27, I'm sure. He would be fine. But the answer is you leave the guys we have.
Yeah. Right now, you have one at bat. You need a hit to win the World Series. You going with Clemens or hitting Harold?
Harold?
I think I'm taking my chances with Cody. But, I mean, either way, we're not winning.
It's right in his name. His name is hitting. It's right there.
I feel like while that is true, it was a wildly sarcastic nickname hitting that we gave him. Anyway.
Gumby fan 69 at Gumby fan 24.
Speaking of, before you get to this question, so after we finished, you know, after we finish on the Zoom call, I go into GarageBand and edit the pod. The name on your track was just for last week was just Yankee Hater 69. So I was. It was, you know, track Jordan Hall, track Yankee Hater 69. So anyway, carry on with Gumby 69's question.
Gumby fan is living into that spirit. Now, here's the thing. Gumby fan 69 is not his handle. It's Gumby fan 24. Make your numbers align, Gumby fan.
Maybe he did it in reference to your handle from last week.
In homage. I somehow doubt that.
I do too.
I asked for Tiger's questions and or personal insecurities, and he asks, what makes you uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable? Loud noises, for sure.
Really?
I despise loud. Yep.
Interesting.
I also don't really like people. So.
Good thing there's like not many quiet, of those.
A quiet room by myself or with one other person, that's preferably enough. Whitney. That's my ideal scenario. Anything outside of that, it's not going to take me real long to be uncomfortable.
What makes me uncomfortable is people who talk too close to me. They're too close.
I mean,
I don't want close talkers. But I have a technique. I have the foot fence. You know about the foot fence?
No, but I like the idea.
Okay, so here's what you do. You kind of put your foot just a little bit forward. So kind of half turn. So, you know, like a three quarter slot, and you put your foot and then you ease your body. I'm demonstrating here as I do. You ease your body back, and people, if they have any decorum, will not step on your foot. So they physically cannot get any closer without stepping on you. And now all of a sudden with the foot fence, you've created some physical distance.
Carving out space for yourself. I like that.
That's the technique. You heard it here first.
In some ways, you're out here playing chess while we're all playing checkers. And in other ways, maybe not so much.
It's an advanced technique. Pete the Third again asks, of the struggling Tigers, Badu, Candy, Scope, Haas, etc., who has the best chance of a turnaround? We spent a lot of time already talking about
all
this.
All of them.
To me, it's,
I mean, they are who they are, but all of them are going to be better than they are right now.
Yeah. To me, it's Scope. Yeah. I think Scope will be just fine. And his insecurity, fair choice too. Good choice. His insecurity is hopelessness.
Fair enough. Yeah. Peter. It's pretty easy to get there now. Yeah.
Thanks for coming to group therapy today. Thank you. Snack Efron at Snacks Efron asks, is it just me or does Chris Illich look like a handsome Bernstein brother?
I'm not giving him any sort of compliment. I mean, that is definitely damning with faint praise, but I don't even know what to do with that.
King Handsome Bernstein, brother. Yeah. I get fatigued with the Bernsteins. I feel like they're maybe backed off a little bit. No?
I mean, they couldn't have gone any more in.
Doubled out. Yeah. GB at Bottle says 12-6. Mr. Coke, repeat of last year. I don't quite know how to process that question. Bottle. Thanks for submitting, though.
Wait, I don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Do you? Oh, okay. All right.
He's participating. You know,
I'm sure if you understood it, it was good, but I do not.
He gets a blue ribbon. It's fine. Sluggish Clambino at Slugwizzy asks, what are the Giants doing? I.e., how are they finding success with a roster that seems pretty average? Related, what does pitch shape versus swing plane matchup mean? That last part sounds like a Jordan question.
Okay, so pitch shape is going to be what the pitch actually looks like. So you have, you know, your break up, down, usually down, obviously, inside to side. So because of gravity. So the pitch shape is just going to be what, like, if – so I feel like Manning was the one that was talking about pitch shape recently. He's talking about how his breaking ball, like, he wants it to go, you know, down 6 inches and away from a left-handed hitter – 3 inches, you know, something like that. That would be the shape that the pitch makes as it's approaching the hitter. Swing plane is obviously going to be the plane at which the bat goes through the zone. So as a pitcher, ideally you keep the shape of your pitch away from the plane of the bat going through the zone.
That was surprisingly helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really good. Now, would that predispose some matchups to be more favorable or less favorable for?
For sure. And I would definitely imagine that they're running analytics like that. I mean, obviously, I don't know that for a fact, but that would certainly seem to be well within the capability based on the stuff.
They have all these computers.
They track these days. Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by this. Why wouldn't they feed all the information that they have into some fancy algorithm and pump out which pitch should be thrown next? Like, why aren't they doing computer optimized pitch sequencing
just at the time?
Yeah, is that, I mean, well, maybe that wouldn't be allowed.
I feel like if you had somebody doing it, it would be very hard to regulate.
Right, because you're not stealing signs. You're not
right.
You're just using a fancy calculator to tell you what the optimal next pitch would be.
I just wonder what the time frame of that can be, because like the time between getting the new ball from the umpire going down and giving your signs, like, I mean, that's 2 seconds. You have to be like on it to get the calculation, get it to the manager, signal it into the catcher. Like,
you would need to use a computer.
Yeah.
To do it. An abacus will not do.
I bet we get there, though.
So we ignored the first part of your question. Sorry.
Giants, they just do things right. I think that that's what it comes down to. The Giants and the Rays, they just do things right.
Which is annoying, isn't it? Completely annoying.
Yeah. If we did it, it wouldn't be annoying. But because it's someone else that does it, it is.
It's like having AJ Pruszynski on your team. It's fine when it's yours, but
I don't even think people that have him like him. I'm not sure that's true.
Fair. At Shawnee Pat asks, I'm officially at DEFCON 1 about Candy. He looks like he was body snatched. Talk me off the ledge of this, please. Love you guys.
Space Jam style.
Thanks, Shawnee Pat. We love you too.
We know for sure that he hasn't been?
Maybe.
Although I think if they were going to do that, they would have gone for maybe a higher profile third baseman.
Body snatchers prefer celebrities.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
I buy that completely.
I don't know. Maybe Candy seems like a nice guy. Maybe that was their criteria. It just depends on what the body snatchers criteria is.
Maybe he was easy to snatch.
That's true. That's another variable I hadn't considered.
All right. Enough snatch talk. Evan at EvanKennedy95 asks, where do you think Miguel Cabrera ends up on the career hits ranking? I think 15th or 16th is likely. So I actually pulled it up. This stupid thing. You know what stinks? Advertisements. Okay. So Cabrera is currently 32nd on the list. He's got 3,003 hits. 15th and 16th. So he's 16th is currently occupied by Cal Ripken Jr., who's got 3,184. So our questioner thinks he's going to get like 180 plus ish hits. Hmm. What do you think? To me,
I can see that.
To me, the most likely track and trajectory would be the Pujolsian track. To me,
just facing lefties.
Cabrera has a lot of similarities to Pujols, I think. So Pujols is currently 42 years old, supposedly, and he's got 3,308 hits, and that puts him in 12th place. So that would mean, obviously, 300 and change hits for Cabrera. That's a tall order, but in the realm of possibility. So yeah, in the teens somewhere, I'd guess. I think he gets another 100 hits pretty easily.
Yeah, definitely. Might even get that this year.
Yeah. Okay. Where are we here? Robin Runyon says, for her insecurity, imposter syndrome. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Hits hard.
For sure.
It hits hard.
Yep.
Robert Baker at Kerba1123 asks, based on arms currently in the organization, what is your desired starting rotation? Seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, closer, and Loogie. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Loogies aren't really a thing anymore.
I wish they were.
You'd still be at it, huh? Grinding away all.
I was not a fan of the rule then. I'm still not a fan of the rule now, but that's a whole other question.
Another thing.
So are we assuming health for everybody?
Sure.
So it would be Eduardo, the three youngins, yeah, and Pineda. I mean,
yeah.
I would want Willie in long relief, I think.
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that he asked about?
No.
Closer Soto. Closer Soto. Cisnero in the eighth when healthy. And you really don't have a proper seventh inning
Fulmer
guy.
I want
anymore.
Fulmer that's before Cisnero.
Cisnero was great last year.
Yeah.
Fulmer,
my memory isn't good.
Fulmer still, I'm not going to say he worries me, but I'm not as comfortable as with him coming into the game. I mean, he's been great, don't get me wrong, but
and the closest Cisnero thing
kind of gave a good.
Yeah. And the closest thing to a Loogie would be Chafin now.
Yeah. But as previously stated, that's not. But Blaine is sitting out there in the American Association, so I think that's a signing we must make, preferably sooner rather than later, and then he could be that Loogie guy. So,
JP Skronik actually retweeted a question we ignored, and we've been ignoring you. Sorry, Mr. Skronik.
That's on Eric.
Absolutely. Do not underestimate or overestimate my laziness. This offseason, we finally got a look at who these players are. Badu went bowling, which I watched. Tarek homemaking, I missed that one. Torque's campus. Given the new roster, which player do you want a video about? What secret hobbies do you think these Tigers might have? So maybe this needs a little setup. Bally Sports did kind of profile, player profiles, I'll call it. Do you check these out at all?
I did not.
The one with Badu bowling was pretty fun. I enjoyed watching that. I like bowling, and he was just kind of out with his bros. They showed his house and his sneaker collection. I love that kind of stuff where you just kind of get to know the players. I would love to see them follow around Michael Fulmer while he does some plumbing.
I can't believe you didn't pick Riley, though.
Riley Green. Well, he was kind of with Torque. They did like this kind of thing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Wow. What do you think Green does? Male modeling?
That's very much what I believe you. What I believe you believe he does just, in his spare time.
He just goes and bees pretty somewhere.
Yeah.
And bees. Oh. Yeah. What else would you do if you were him? Stand on a street corner and let people look at me. That's a blessing to society right there. Gaze upon me. You're welcome.
Gaze upon him.
Yeah. That's it. That's the Twitter questions. We did it.
That's good. Things went downhill.
You know what Riley Green is doing? He's not checking any of the boxes except broken foot. That's it. No maladies.
How often per week are you Twitter searching Riley Green looking for updates?
Trust me, I have structured my world in such a way that I do not need to look for Riley Green information. It comes to me. Okay? You have to create your own reality, and I have done so. Anything important I need to know, especially about the Tigers, people are going to message me. I've structured my world that way. If something happens with Phil Koch, I don't need to find it. People are like, hey, Eric, Kikis, pay attention over there.
I am now realizing that I'm part of that infrastructure.
Yeah. There you go.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. We are on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. The show is at Podcastianos. And I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but if you like the show, leave us a rating and review on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever else you're listening to the podcast on.
Yeah, hype us up a little bit. We, frankly, we need the affirmation. We really do. Please.
Definitely.
Please help us.
Going for numbers. That's why we release on a Friday. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week? Oh, no. I'm off next week. Big Steve and Dawn will be in town, so I will be indisposed. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Sure. Predisposed?
All right.
No, not predisposed. Indisposed. That you had it right. Unavailable.
Unavailable.
Occupado. You were
occupado.
Totally occupado.
Maybe we'll still ask for Twitter questions.
And then ignore them
for next week.
Just torture the poor listeners. Not opposed.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys in 2 weeks. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.